Myself with Chakras, episode 265.
Live in the here and live in the now.
The seven chakras, swirling vortices of energy, positioned throughout our body, from the base of the spine to the crown of the head. For thousands of years, this ancient wisdom has been passed on from master to disciple. What are the functions of these energy centers? And could these chakras help you unlock your destiny and find your true purpose? Welcome to My Seven Chakras. And now, your host, Aditya Jai Kumar.
What's up, Action Tribe? AJ here, host and founder of My Seven Chakras, the show where we provide you the ancient wisdom and the action steps to upgrade your life condition. So if you're new to this show, then I want to give you a warm welcome. Now, before we actually begin with today's episode, I've got a couple of announcements to make. Now, firstly, over the years, many of you have reached out saying that you'd like to support our show in some way. And recently, I started a Patreon page for people that would like to support our movement. Visit my7chakras.com/Patreon. That's my7chakras.com/PATREON. And for those of you that don't know what Patreon is, it's a platform that allows you to donate a small amount each month to support the expenses that go into creating this podcast, such as podcast production, graphics, and equipment. And this way, you will help take a load off my shoulders, and I'll be able to provide you more number of episodes, higher quality content, and life-changing information at your fingertips. Now, to get started, go to my7chakras.com/Patreon, and you can get started for as little as $7. Also, make sure you download the My Seven Chakras reading list, which is based on books that have been recommended on the show. Now, to visit the page and to download your PDF, go to my7chakras.com/reading list. To get your free downloadable PDF document, go to my7chakras.com/reading list. And with that out of the way, I'm really excited to bring on our guest for today, Dr. Ron Frey. So, Ron, are you ready to inspire?
I am ready to inspire.
Great. So Dr. Ron Frey is a clinical psychologist and author of Feeling Better, Beat Depression and Improve Your Relationships with Interpersonal Psychotherapy. Now, when it comes to treatment for depression, we have been getting it all wrong. Instead of focusing on just the biochemistry, we need to focus on the importance of relationships. Feeling Better offers a step-by-step guide using a research-proven approach called interpersonal psychotherapy, or IPT, which can help you deal with the issues that may be contributing to your unhappiness. And therapists Cindy Stuhlberg and Ron Frey have used IPT with clients for more than 20 years and have achieved dramatic lasting results after only 8 to 12 weeks. And we're going to talk about this fascinating topic. We're going to delve into some stories and learn some concepts so that you can apply some of these concepts in your life immediately right after listening to this episode. So it's highly promising, and make sure you stay till the very end. So to begin, thanks a lot for joining me, Ron.
It's my pleasure. I'm really happy to be here.
Great. Now, we always begin our show with a dose of inspiration. So what is your favorite inspirational quote these days, and how do you apply it in your life?
My favorite inspirational quote right now is live in the here and live in the now. That's something that we talk a lot about in interpersonal psychotherapy when we treat our patients. And it's something which is a simple sentence, but sometimes very difficult to follow.
Absolutely. I love this quote very much, because sometimes, like you mentioned, we might hear it a lot, maybe in a book, or if you're watching some sort of documentary or a TV show. But sometimes we need a jolt to remind us to really live here and now, and not really be focused on the past or the future, because all the power that we have to be able to take action and to exert it is in the now, right? And it's important to remember that. So with that, let's begin. What inspired you to write your book, Feeling Better?
I think what inspired this book was really the lack of having an IPT book for the general public. So interpersonal psychotherapy is a wonderful therapy, but it never really left the research labs in the United States. And this book really allows the general public to grab on to a new type of psychotherapy that's been really working well for many years, but hasn't really been promoted as effectively as other types of psychotherapy. So this is a really easy book to read with lots of great tips and recommendations so that people can make changes, as you'd mentioned, in significant changes in as little 8 to 12 weeks.
Got it. So, I've gone through the book. I noticed that it's structured differently, right, compared to other books in terms of not just reading something intellectually, but also providing space for reflection as well as for implementing a lot of what you share in the book. And I think that's great. But for someone who's new to this field, what exactly is interpersonal psychotherapy?
Well, interpersonal psychotherapy believes that people's mood, the way you feel, if you're feeling happy, or if you're feeling sad, or if you're feeling angry or lost in life, it's always connected with close interpersonal relationships. Mm-hmm. So the more rich your interpersonal relationships are, that is the people that you care for, the people that you surround yourself with, the more positive your feelings will be. And if there's discord in the relationships that you have with people around you, misunderstandings, or if there's been mistakes made either from yourself or from both of you in an intimate relationship, for example, those really need to be worked on. And if you can work on them effectively and you have a good approach, which IPT is, then it allows you to move on with your relationships and both parties will feel better. So that's essentially the philosophy behind interpersonal psychotherapy. It's all about the relationship.
Got it. And also, you know, as I do more of these episodes and have conversations with amazing people like yourself, I'm beginning to realize that I, as a human being, really crave relationships, and not just relationships, but having in-person interactions and dialogues, and because this not only helps me articulate my thoughts, but it also gives me a sense of comfort, and you know, it's just something that I guess I want more of, you know, to have these positive, mutually beneficial and nurturing relationships. So diving a bit deeper, could you talk to us about the significance of relationships in our life and how that impacts our overall health?
Well, we are social creatures by nature, and human beings need to be around other human beings and really required, you know, fundamentally loving and supportive relationships. And by creating those relationships, nurturing those relationships, encouraging those relationships, it really has a profound impact on how you feel. And unfortunately, in today's society, if you look, for example, at a lot of the internet-based relationships, a lot of those relationships tend to be fairly shallow or superficial, and people forget the importance of sitting down and talking face-to-face and sharing ideas and sharing thoughts together in a more intimate way, so that they understand each other better. But if you can do that, then you will live a much richer and happier life. And I think the difficulty that a lot of people have is they don't know how to do that anymore. And so that's what this book really tries to help them with.
Right. And I love that you look into the multi-dimensional or multifaceted nature of relationships, right? Not just relationships as a whole, but like you mentioned, creating, encouraging, and nurturing, right, of relationships, which is an ongoing activity, you know, just like taking a bath. You need to do it on an ongoing, in an ongoing way. And that's what I'm realizing is that it's a lifelong journey of being more intentional, being more aware, and also nurturing these relationships. But let's take a few steps back. How did you get started in this field? What's your story like?
Well, I was a graduate student at the University of Toronto, and typically most graduate students, their first exposure to a psychotherapy model is the cognitive behavioral therapy model.
Right.
And the cognitive behavioral therapy model, known as CBT, essentially looks at your thoughts And it looks at how you are actually thinking. Are you having rational thoughts? Do you have inflexible thinking? Is your thinking always negative? So it's really turning in and making you focus on your thinking. Mm-hmm. And I always felt relatively uncomfortable with that because people who are struggling with their mood typically tend to blame themselves for it. And interpersonal psychotherapy offered a different approach. Instead of looking at and examining your personal thoughts and trying to change those specific thoughts, it really looks on how you interact with people around you. What is your interpersonal style like? How do you communicate? How do you listen? What is your, you know, nonverbal behavior like when you're around people? And really by looking at the relationships and the quality and the quantity of your relationships and making some fundamental changes, perhaps in your interpersonal style, would have a significant impact on your mood. And so that's why I took this path. It was a very new model in graduate school, and I was very fortunate to be introduced to it.
Got it. So basically going from assessing what thoughts a person is having in their mind to actually maybe gauging or assessing how a person's interpersonal relationships are in terms of not only how they engage and build relationships, their ability to listen and also continue the conversation and the relationship over a long period of time. Now let's talk about a challenge that a lot of people are facing these days in today's age, which is depression. What are some major causes of depression that you're finding these days?
Well, when we look at from the interpersonal perspective, what the causes of depression are, there's four basic causes. You can pretty well group them into those four categories. One is what we call role disputes, and that is that you're actually having a dispute with somebody that's very close to you. So if you have a dispute with your spouse, with your lover, with your employer, your boss, your sister, your brother, that can have a significant impact on your mood, and that can cause or trigger a depression. So that's one cause of depression. Another cause for depression is unresolved grief, and that is if you've lost somebody. If somebody's died and you haven't really been able to grieve that death, that can also trigger depression. Hmm. The third possible cause of depression are role transitions. And we see a lot of that today. So people are changing jobs continuously. You know, my father used to work, like many fathers, you know, work for the same employee for 20 years, 30 years. Nowadays, most people are working contract. They're going from contract to contract. There's very little job security. They're going through lots of transitions. And that can be very stressful because it has an impact on the people that you surround yourself with. You could lose an entire peer group. You can lose your work colleagues. There's also different types of transitions, like transitioning to motherhood, having the first child, or going into retirement is also sometimes very stressful for people. That can cause a depression. So life transitions is a fairly significant area. And then the last possible cause of depression is your own type of really interpersonal style. There are some people that find it very difficult to have conversations with other people. They may be very mechanical in their thinking. They may be very opinionated. They may be very combative. They may be dependent. They may be over-controlling. And so those are more what we call personality traits or factors, which can also have a significant impact on your mood because you may alienate yourself from the people around you because of your because of your personality style. So these are the four basic causes of depression.
Got it. So I love this classification, and it really helps, I guess, to if you're experiencing some form of depression, to be able to notice what are the four buckets, so to speak, and understand which one does your challenge fall under. And you mentioned one is the conflict or the dispute that you have, especially with a close one, whether it's your spouse, your children, or you know someone who you work with. The other one is role transitions, changing jobs, mother. motherhood. And I'm guessing that PTSD also falls under the role transition, right? Because you were, you know, in a war zone probably, and you were with other soldiers, and that vibe or maybe camaraderie was way different, and you're not able to get this now that the you're back in civilian life, right? So would that...
PTSD is actually very interesting that you raise that topic, because as someone who treats soldiers quite often in my practice, it's something that is very, very difficult to navigate for people. They have lost their comrades, or they've come back from a deployment and everything has changed around them at home, and they don't know how they fit in anymore. What's fascinating is that the treatment for PTSD has typically been the cognitive approach through exposure therapy. But there's some new exciting research which has just come out by Dr. Markowitz, which has shown that interpersonal psychotherapy is working very well for people with PTSD. And the nice thing about it is that it doesn't require exposure. So you don't actually have to relive the trauma to get better. Again, you're focusing on your relationships, trying to change things, manage your relationships a little bit different in the new reality that you're in, and that will have an impact on your level of functioning. So it's so that's very recent research, so it's exciting.
Yeah, definitely exciting and very promising. So we've got four areas, like you mentioned. One is dispute with a close one, role transitions, maybe an unresolved grief. You've not had the opportunity to really let go of your emotions.
Yes.
And fourth is personality traits, or maybe personality factors that are inhibiting your ability to have these relationships and maybe to communicate, whatever that might be, that's hindering your growth. So I know we've alluded to this a bit a while back, but how does having healthy relationships translate to personal vitality and health? Like, what's the ideal state over here?
Well, if there's one thing that I'd like your listeners to really remember, is that the more closely you can align your expectations and your values with the people that you love, the people you are close to, the happier and the more healthy your relationship will be. And you will feel happier, and your spouse, your child, whoever that person is that's close to you, will also feel happier. So it's really about making sure you have those important discussions to make sure that you're always on the same page, or pretty well close to the same page. And sometimes people just lose sight of that, or they just forget about doing it. When I'm training people into personal psychotherapy, I like people to think about how much communication they actually do when they're first dating, for example.
Okay.
Right? You got your first girlfriend or your boyfriend, and think back about how much time you speak together. You share your ideas, your dreams, your fears, your goals, your expectations. And there's just a lot of communication that goes on.
Yeah.
But then when the relationship becomes more mature, and you've been now, for example, married, and you've been together for a number of years, things start getting in the way of those conversations, right?
Yeah.
You're either shuttling your kids to hockey practice or to baseball practice, or you're chasing a job promotion, or you're taking care of somebody in your family who's fallen ill. There's just a lot of life things that are occurring.
Yeah.
And those important discussions about your values, expectations, your dreams, your fears, etc., get put on the sideline. And what we have seen as interpersonal psychotherapists is that that's usually where the problems begin, and that's where we steer people towards, is to get them to renegotiate their relationships so that they can come back together again. And if
Got
you
it.
Do that, you're going to feel better.
Yeah, I think that is so important that you mentioned that we need to have these discussions, especially with members of the family, from time to time, and not just, you know, very rarely, because change is the only constant, right? And I guess who you were and the values that you had and the expectations that you had out of life and out of the relationship when you just started out might be different. And, you know, you might have kids and you might have aspirations for a new job, or maybe you want to start a new business. And on the other hand, maybe you have a different passion, you want to travel around the world, whatever that might be, all of those changes affect your, maybe not your values, but maybe your expectations. And it's important to have these discussions, right, from time to time.
Yeah, I like that, what you just said, that the only constant is change. I really, really think that's it's a brilliant statement. That's exactly, it's very accurate. And so learning how to navigate that change with your loved one through communication is really important.
Got it. Now, another thing that you, I guess, address in your book is social isolation, right?
Yes.
So could you talk to us a bit about this and how this really affects a person's state of being?
Well, the more isolated people become, either behind their computers or, you know, in their cubicles or wherever, even in their own home, the less they interact in a meaningful way with people around them, typically it has a negative impact on their mood. You know, I remember once listening to an adventurer who decided to fly to the Yukon. This is in northern Canada, and live in a log cabin. Mm-hmm. All by himself. And he lasted, I think, about 2 months. And the bush pilot that flew him in said, you know what, you're not going to be able to stay there for a year. I'll pick you up in a couple of months. And when they interviewed him, they said, what was the hardest thing that you found? Was it building the cabin? Was it keeping warm? Was it foraging for food? And he said, no. He said, the most difficult thing was I had nobody to talk to, nobody to share anything with. And so it was really that human element, that interpersonal element through isolation, which really, really had a profound impact on this adventurer's mood. And I think, generally speaking, that's how humans are. If we don't have meaningful interpersonal relationships, the research is quite clear, you are going to have you're going to be struggling with your mood.
Got it. Now, is this different when this social isolation is more out of one's own volition, out of one's own choice, versus if a person becomes sort of, you know, outcast from the community, or if a person is, had spent a lot of time with a group that he or she was very close to, but now is sort of technically out of that group? So are the implications different in what I described right now versus a person who, you know, just doesn't like being amongst people, or, you know, just prefers being being on the computer all the time?
Well, so basically what you're looking at, I think, is two different things, right? One is transitions, right? So if you're in a social milieu and all of a sudden it disappears and you're isolated, that could definitely have a negative impact on your mood. But similarly, if you are in your room all the time and not interacting with people, you're going to be experiencing this very similar symptoms.
Okay.
So the symptoms are going to be similar. It's just how you got there may be a little bit different. But what they do have in common is that you're socially isolated.
Got it. So thanks a lot for clarifying. And in your book, you use the term allies and supporters in your group. Now, who are they and how does one go about maybe identifying them in life?
Allies and supporters. Well, one of the things I always tell my own kids is that, you know, if you're facing a challenge, for example, for studying for an exam, or you don't know, you know, what to study, or you don't know what decision to make over any issue, I always say borrow a brain, right? Go talk to somebody. And if you can go talk to somebody that maybe has gone through something similar, that's an ally. Because sometimes, you know, we're faced with issues in life and we feel like we're the only one that has to face this issue. But if you actually look around you, there's probably somebody you know that has gone through something similar. And if you can connect with that person and have a conversation with them, just that in itself will make you feel better. You don't even have to have a solution. But the fact that you are actually reaching out to that person and having an actual conversation, that in itself will have a positive impact on your mood. So sometimes it's just those baby steps which are really important to take.
Right, right. And I guess very often people might have people in their lives who can be the ally or the supporter, but very often it's the not wanting to ask, right? Or not wanting to be in a position of receiving, or wondering what they might think of them, or perceive of them, or judge them, that keeps them from reaching out.
Yeah, I mean, there's risk involved, you know, when you open up with somebody else about something that you're struggling with. And sometimes, you know, that ally may not be your spouse, right, at this moment, because it just may be too much risk. But there's probably other people, like a friend, right, who may be a little bit more objective or outside, that would be a natural ally. And there may be even other people even further out in your inventory that may be able to give you some insight. I had a patient once whose ally was their hairdresser. You know, hairdressers are easy people to talk to.
Yeah.
And they're very, usually very interested in their clients, and they're usually, you know, highly motivated to have discussions. And sometimes just having a conversation with somebody that's outside of your intimate circle can give you new ideas and new ways of thinking about how to approach a particular difficult interpersonal situation.
Oh, absolutely. It's really interesting that you mentioned your hairdresser, because I think, you know, the activity of going to the hairdresser is a very unique one, in that when you go to the hairdresser, you know, it's the environment that allows you to, I guess, let down all your worries, and the fact that, you know, there's somebody combing your hair. I think, you know, biologically, it's a very relaxing process. And like you mentioned also, the hairdresser is someone who usually is someone who inquires about your life, and, you know, maybe what challenges you're going through. And it becomes a bit easier to share, especially if you've been going to the same person for a long period of time.
That's right. Exactly.
Now, I love that in your book, Feeling Better, you have a number of exercises that you encourage your readers to go through in order to get to a more healthier state of being, with, you know, a healthier state in terms of your interpersonal relationships. And you've written about the fact that it's important to identify your who's in life, right? So, so what exactly does this mean?
Well, those are the who's. Those are the people that would be, you know, meaningful people to put in your interpersonal circle, right? So sometimes we don't spend a lot of time thinking about the people that we're actually surrounded with, and what type of relationship you have with them, and if it's a relationship you'd like to improve or you want to increase in frequency. The who's are really the people around you. And sometimes, you know, we look around and we say, well, I don't have any friends. But in actual fact, around you, there are lots of potential friends. It's just that you haven't been able to see those who's. So that those exercises really are enabling readers to find out and inquire a little bit more about their interpersonal surrounding.
Wow, I think that's a very useful exercise to do, for sure, right? I mean, it's easy to just forget about all the people that you interact and connect and communicate with on an ongoing basis, and to just have the opportunity to map out and take note of your personal network, I think can open up a lot of opportunities. And this is something I'm going to do as well.
That's great.
Now, in connection, now you've mentioned that it's important to sort of draw your social circle, right, and identify your who's. And you've also written in depth about goal setting in your book. So what's the significance of goal setting when it comes to building these effective and lasting relationships?
Well, I think when you first identify those people that you want to have a more meaningful interpersonal relationship, there's a couple of things. One of the goals, of course, is to find out, you know, within yourself, how much time do you want to spend with this person? Are you spending enough time with them, you know, in a meaningful way? If not, you know, what changes can you make to make sure that you're spending more time with them? And also, it's again about looking at the type of relationship. What are your shared expectations and values? What are the differences you have in the way you are kind of proceeding in life?
Okay.
And so really, one of the goals is to make sure you have a clear understanding of that, because that enables you then to have those conversations with that individual to basically negotiate and accommodate each other's expectations and values, so that it becomes a more, you know, fruitful and happier relationship.
Got it. Thanks a lot for sharing. Now, in relationships and in life, sometimes you experience acceptance, especially when you're in a group, and sometimes you face rejection. So how do you suggest our listeners look at these potential rejections, I guess, in relationships? And how should one handle them? How should one process them?
Well, rejection is really, really difficult for anybody to hear. And I think the most important thing is that if you feel that you're being rejected and that your expectations and values cannot be met by a certain person, then you're left with strong feelings. And what happens with people who are depressed, they'll typically just keep it inside. They won't share it with anybody, or they may drink their feelings away.
Yeah.
But what we encourage people to do is to grab onto a who, right?
Okay.
Who is in my interpersonal world that I could share this feeling with? And usually if you just are able to pick up the phone or talk to somebody about that feeling and that experience you had, just that action will actually make you feel better, and it may in fact give you an opportunity to move on. So it's important to not do this in isolation. If you feel rejected, it's important to talk to somebody about that. And likewise, if you feel accepted, it's important to share your positive feeling with the person that has accepted you as well. So sometimes we forget to do that as well.
Absolutely. Just acknowledgement and an expression of gratitude, right? Because exactly. That'll have an effect on yourself as well as they feel a higher level of validation, which
That's
is
right.
so so important. Awesome. So again, Action Tribe, I hope you are listening to this conversation that we're having right now, which is so important, so useful, and so needed in today's world, especially now that we are having our lives, we have so many, so much of technology and so many devices and so much of social media that is consuming our lives, that it's easy to forget what a relationship is and the importance of in-personal, real relationships. And at least taking steps towards a more fruitful interpersonal relationship. So, Ron, if you had to suggest one action step to our listeners based on the conversation that we're having today, what would that be?
One action step. I think one action step would be, as I mentioned to you now, live in the here and the now. Realize that if you've made mistakes in your relationship with somebody, that you can't undo those, right? So it's there's no sense in replaying them in your mind over and over and over again. What's important to do is to think about why that occurred and what kind of changes you can make in how you interact with that person so that your expectations and values are most closely aligned. Because if you continue to live in the past, you're not going to be able to change your interpersonal functioning with that person. So it's really important to live in the here and the now. When I say here and the now, I'm literally talking this week, right? And what can you do today? What can you do tomorrow so that the relationship that you find meaningful is nourished and is moving in the right direction? That's really important, to live in the present.
So, Action Tribe, to read the entire show notes for today's episode, including the inspirational quote, the nuggets of wisdom that were shared, the action step, and the book recommendation, make sure you visit my7chakras.com/265. That's my7chakras.com/265. I shall either find a way or make one. Now, this is an amazing quote by Hannibal Barca, who lived thousands and thousands of years back. But Action Tribe, sometimes in life, you have to be brutally honest with yourself. Yes, you're experiencing challenges, but what's at stake here? Remember, you are a multi-dimensional being, and you are powerful beyond measure. And you've got strengths and abilities within you that you don't even know exist. Who are you doing this for? Is there someone or some people that you really care about? Who is depending on you? Remember why you got into this and let that fuel whatever you're doing and going through right now. Because like we're learning, It's not about what happened in the past. It's about what you can do right now. And I promise you that you can go through this, because like Hannibal said thousands of years back, I shall either find a way or I will make one.
That's such a funny quote, because you know what I did this summer is I traced the trail of Hannibal with my 16-year-old son.
No way.
Through France, over the mountains, in the Alps, into Italy. And it was a father-son journey, a journey into manhood, and one of my favorite adventures, Hannibal. It's a very, very timely quote. Nice.
You know, the funny part is, and I don't know how this happens, I don't have any explanation for these, but sometimes I, you know, prepare these inspirational quotes beforehand, right, before our interview, and in most cases, there's some mystical connection.
it's
I don't know how this works, but it's amazing when this happens, and the fact that you've traced the journey.
Oh, yeah.
So what did you find? I mean, did you find something interesting or exciting about his journey?
Well, I what I found interesting is the journey that I had with my son is a very similar journey I had with my father. And that is that, we backpacked with very heavy packs, we excruciating pain, high altitude, snow, the whole nine yards. And it's just really hard to fathom that Hannibal and his elephants and all the troops that he had did this journey. It's just amazing. So it was a hard journey for us, much harder for Hannibal, for sure. But the time that we spend together, I'm sure that my son and I will never forget that trip because of the conversations we had, the lack of cell phone coverage, you know, the lack of light because we don't have electricity. Really getting down to the basics. You know, when you don't have a lot of gadgets around you, you have a lot of time to talk and a lot of time to listen. And that was a very valuable experience that I had with my boy.
Wonderful. And I also, you know, I aspire to have a journey like this, like you had with your son, because very often they say, right, it's important to travel, but what happens as a result of the travel is not just that you see different things and beautiful mountains and valleys and you're in awe, but what happens to you as an individual internally and how you transform, and also, like we're discussing today, how that relationship transforms that you have with your son as a consequence of that wonderful and historic travel that you made. Now, Ron, talking about life challenges now, talk to us about one major life challenge that you've experienced. What did you go through, and then how did you overcome that challenge?
Oh, I mean, lots of life challenges. I mean, I remember probably the one that was the most difficult for me to go through was probably 18 years ago. You know, I had just purchased a house. My wife was pregnant with her first child, and I lost my job. It was an absolute, like, through downsizing, it was just really, really a difficult time because, you know, we've been socially conditioned to be the breadwinner for the family, men, many men have been, and it's very difficult to see your wife go out to work and you not working. Especially when she's pregnant, you have a house and a mortgage to pay. It was a very, very difficult time. But the person that helped me through that the most was, in fact, my wife, right? She never gave up on me. She always believed in me, and she always encouraged me. And so it was really that close interpersonal relationship which helped me through that time. And of course, through that time, another opportunity came. And it wasn't the same job by any stretch of the imagination, but it was a job that offered new opportunities and opportunities that I would have probably never have seen had I not lost that other job. So it was really an important transition to go through. It was just hard at the time to see the positive potential through that transition. But by having a supportive person around you, that certainly highlighted those positive opportunities. It made the journey a lot more easier to go through.
Well, thanks a lot for sharing. And how long did you have to wait for that new opportunity?
I had to wait a good probably half a year, 6 months. I mean, it was a difficult time in the economy. It was not an easy thing, but through, you know, through communication, through her efforts and her, you know, abilities to motivate me, it certainly made me continue looking for a job, and eventually, you know, I am where I am today. So it was a really important moment to go through.
Really, really inspiring. So based on what you've shared, what is that one life lesson that you'd like to share with our listeners?
One life lesson. I would say the life lesson, and I'm changing this now in the way I'm thinking, is actually to remember your quote, which is that the only constant is change. Mm-hmm. That is so important because, as I had mentioned earlier before, relationships change over time.
Yeah.
And what happens is that lots of couples will start making assumptions about what their loved ones are thinking about, dreaming about, fearing about, because we think we know them too well. So we need to stop. We need to take the time and regularly have deep discussions with the people that we find important in our lives to make sure that we're not assuming, but we're actually knowing what our expectations are in our relationships. And if that's a really important thing to remember, for sure.
Got it. So thanks a lot for sharing that, Ron, and being vulnerable and sharing your story with me and with us today. You mentioned that 18 years back, you had just purchased a house, your wife was pregnant, and at that point, at that critical juncture, you actually lost a job because of the difficult economic situation that was present at that time. And it was difficult because you had your expenses, you had to pay your mortgage, and many other emotional challenges as well, right? Because of how society has created these structures. And so you went to the challenge either way. And the most important thing, like you've shared, was the fact that your wife was very supportive of you. There was open communication and dialogue. And you did get the new opportunity. And as a result, you know, your perspective about going through life changes or life challenges changed. And I think many people will be able to relate to your story because of the world that we live in today. Like you alluded to earlier, you know, jobs are not the same anymore. There's a lot of contract opportunities available, but those are also temporary, right? Because,
that's right.
You know, you never know when you can lose your job, even if it's a full-time opportunity. But the good thing is we're in a digital economy these days that allows you to communicate. Which city are you in right now, Ron?
I'm in the vicinity of Ottawa, the capital of Canada.
You're in Ottawa and I'm in Vancouver, across the country.
That's right.
We're having this wonderful conversation, and the digital economy really allows you to identify what problem people are having and then provide a solution. And if you have enough people who trust, like, and support you, you actually have an opportunity which potentially can be a bigger opportunity than the job that you were hoping that you would get. But I think the bottom line is that change is the only constant. And no matter what situation you're finding yourself in, financial, emotional, relationship, or maybe some other form health challenge, know that you have it within you to heal and to transform your life. And like we're learning today, it all starts with reaching out, asking for support, because if you've gone through that challenge, somebody else has also gone through a similar challenge. So don't be afraid to ask somebody for help, and be intentional pay attention to the relationships in your life, because that will help you experience greater happiness and fulfillment. So thanks a lot for sharing, Ron.
Oh, it's wonderful how you summarize that. It's exactly what we want our listeners to hear, for sure.
Absolutely. And Action Tribe, I hope you're having a great time so far. I know I am. We've still got the last portion of today's session still left. But before we proceed, let me ask you a question. Who are you? And I know that's a pretty loaded question, but sometimes it's important to ask this simple question. Who am I really? Very often we attach our identity and an identity to ourselves and let go of, let all our life decisions be driven by that very identity. You know, whether you feel you're too old or you're too young, you're too tall or too short. Maybe you feel, you know, you're rich, or maybe you feel you're too poor, or an actor or a businessman. All these different identities, right, that we attach ourselves to. But realize that All of those are just identities. They're transient. And don't attach yourself to any of them too much. The only thing that matters, I'm finding out, is how much you've loved and how much you've experienced and what you've learned from it all. And just like Abraham Lincoln once so eloquently put, in the end, it's not the years in your life that count. It's the life in your years. So realize that change is the only constant. You can't predict what's going to happen in the future. But for today, reach out to someone who means something to you. Have that conversation and you'll be surprised at what transpires. So thanks a lot for sharing all of that wisdom. And with that, we are at the very last but important round for today, which is called the wisdom round. So Ron, what is the best piece of advice that you ever received?
The best piece of advice that I ever received was when my girlfriend broke off with me. I was distraught. I couldn't figure out why she would broke off with me. And as I was moving out of my apartment, my friend, who was a business major in university, he was listening to me and I said, I did everything in that relationship. And he said to me, that was probably the problem. You did everything in the relationship, right? Mm. So, you know, for me personally, that was a very important piece of advice, is that it's important to be able to give up some control, to live with some risk in relationships, because for me personally, that's always been a difficult thing. You know, it's and that's probably because of my culture growing up, you know, first generation Canadian, certain expectations and certain traditions and values make me want to make sure that everything is going just the way I would like it to go. But it's important that you give some space and time and opportunity for the other people around you to grow individually. And that means giving up some control. So for me, it's important to remember not to do everything in the relationship, and also to listen more, you know, be a little bit more cognizant that I may not be listening as carefully as I should be listening. So those are some important things that I've received that. And I have to say, I still struggle with these things. You know, these are weaknesses in my personality, which will likely never go away completely. But by becoming more aware of it, and by having loved ones around you which remind you of that, and giving you an opportunity to improve on those weaknesses, is a really important opportunity not to miss.
Well, absolutely. And what I found is sometimes a weakness in a personality can become your greatest strength, right? Because a person tends to overcompensate and strive harder to make up for that weakness. And what ends up happening is that becomes your greatest strength. That's what I've seen in a lot of people as well.
Yes, it's a very good observation. Yes. And sometimes it takes a pretty big hit, right? Until you kind of wake up and see, oh my goodness, I'm repeating the same pattern I've repeated before.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's what it takes. It takes that type of unsettling in a relationship so that you can reset and really move on in a meaningful way, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And if you could turn back time and spend 1 hour with anyone dead or living, who would it be?
If I could turn back time and spend 1 hour with anybody dead or living, who would that be? Oh, that's a really good question. I don't know. One of the persons that I really admired was Leonard Cohen. He's a great Canadian songwriter. I mean, different generation, but when you listen to his music and you listen to his poetry, it's so profound, so moving, so dark, so artistic. It would have been really nice to have an opportunity to speak with him and to understand how he developed his craft and his thinking and learn more about the relationships he had, because that was a really, really powerful artist and poet who really had a great impact on on me as a listener to his art. So that would have been definitely one person. Very insightful, reflective type of an individual.
Great. And what is that one thing you do in the morning or in the evening before sleeping that has improved the quality of your life?
A healthy mind and a healthy body. Exercise is really important for me. And I really feel that if you have a healthy body, you will have and healthy relationships. This is really the epitome of functioning in a very, very positive and healthy manner. So for me, exercise is something I do either in the mornings or in the evenings to make sure that both my body, my health, and my mind are all functioning together in harmony.
Great. Now, if you could recommend one book for our listeners today, what would it be?
I don't have a book to recommend, but I have a series of books to recommend.
Great.
And these are comic books. And specifically the Asterix and Obelix series. Are you familiar with those at all, by chance?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So why do I recommend those? They are fascinating to read because you can read them as a child, when you were a child and you read them, and you understand the stories a certain way. But when you reread those same stories as an adult, you start to see the story with a different set of lenses, and you can actually see how the authors wrote these stories for these two audiences in mind. And I think that is a really nice experience for readers to have, is to be able to read a similar story or the same story, but to get different meaning from it. So that's what I would recommend, is to perhaps read some of those earlier stories you read, but now as an adult, and think about the difference in meaning from that text.
That's really, really interesting. And I used to love reading Asterix and Obelix. I mean, I wasn't a super fan, but I think it's a good cue for me to visit the nearest library and borrow a copy of Asterix and Obelix and go through it. It'll be pretty interesting, especially the campaign. I think Caesar's campaign. I think that was one of the editions where they interact with Caesar. Yeah, absolutely. So thanks a lot for sharing. And Action Tribe, if you would like to get an audiobook for free, then I've got a huge opportunity for you. Now, if you're listening to a podcast, then I'm sure you would love audiobooks as well, because I sure do, especially if I'm in transit, if I'm traveling, if I'm on the train, or if I'm just at home. I pop on my earphones and listen to my favorite book, which is so convenient. Now, audible.com is offering Action Tribe one free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial so that you can get to check out their amazing service. And they've got over 180,000 titles to choose from. So they've got a lot of different types of books. And I believe Asterix and Obelix is available too, but you'll have to double check. But again, you get one free audiobook with a free 30-day trial, no commitments. To download your free audiobook today, go to my7chakras.com/freebook. Once again, that's my7chakras.com/freebook. Download your audiobook and you won't be disappointed. Now, Ron, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your wisdom and sharing your stories as well. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have some very powerful takeaways as a result of this amazing conversation that they can apply in their life as well. Before you go, tell us one thing that you're grateful for and how we can find you.
I'm grateful to have a wonderful interpersonal world around me, which includes you and your listeners now. It's a really fascinating, wonderful conversation. Technology is a really wonderful thing. To be thankful for the people around you, to nurture those important relationships, to have those opportunities, to live in a country where you are afforded those opportunities without having to struggle for, food and shelter. These are all, things to be very thankful for. To learn more about interpersonal psychotherapy or to find out how to pre-order our book, all you need to do is go to interpersonalpsychotherapy.com. That's one word. So it's www.interpersonalpsychotherapy.com. And there you can find out lots more about interpersonal psychotherapy, how to get trained as an IPT therapist if you'd like to be trained, and how to order our book.
So there you go, Action Tribe. I hope you enjoyed today's session. A lot of key takeaways and a lot of stuff that you can implement right away, because as we're learning, the quality of our relationships are so important to our growth and overall development. And we need to take a complete responsibility for not only what has happened in our life, but what is happening in our life, most importantly, because now is the time that we are going to take action and take full accountability for people that are in our relationships, people that we want to build relationships with, as well as how we're going to manage that ongoing relationship so that we're able to nurture it in a very positive way. To order a copy of Ron and Cindy Goldman's latest book titled Feeling Better, Beat Depression, and Improve Your Relationships with Interpersonal Psychotherapy on Amazon, go to my7chakras.com/265book. That's my7chakras.com/265book. It's an amazing book. It's like it's got a nice orangish and yellowish hue, you know, beautifully designed, and the logo feels like a sun. So I guess I interpret it as the warmth of human connection, and a positive relationship is what this book will teach you. And it's not going to, the training is not for years and years, but according to how it's outlined, 8 to 12 weeks. Is that correct, Ron?
That's right. Exactly.
8 to 12 weeks. Follow the steps. It's not designed like a normal book. It's like, you know, you there are moments for reflection. There are moments for you to be able to assess their exercises, and for moments for you to take action as well. Now, as soon as you visit that link that I shared, you'll be taken straight to the Amazon product page where you'll be able to order your own copy. my7chakras.com/265book. Ron, thank you so much for coming on our show, talking to us about feeling better through our interpersonal relationships and taking us one step closer to a human revolution.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for the invitation.
You're listening to My Seven Chakras. Go to mysevenchakras.com. Download your free gift, get inspired, and take action. Transform your life today.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.